Welcome to a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from holidays past. Mark Livonier, your host for this hour. Later on, we'll hear a broadcast called Yuletide Miracle on Suspense. But first, it's The Adventures of Archie Andrews, their Christmas shopping episode, first broadcast on NBC on December 13th, 1947.
Away, Jughead. It's a matter of life or death.
Relax, Archie. Relax.
Yes, here he is again. The youngster millions of readers of Archie Comics magazine know and love so well. Brought to you by Swift & Company, makers of Swift Premium Franks and Swift Brookfield Sausage. Archie Andrews and all his gang. Listen. Hear that, folks? You're listening to the actual sound of two delicious links of Swift's Brookfield sausage sizzling in the skillet. A sound that's an appetizing invitation to enjoy America's favorite pork sausage, Swift's Brookfield sausage. In these days when everyone is conscious of making food go further, Swift's Brookfield sausage makes an ideal meat. For Swift's Brookfield sausage is all meat, and you eat every delicious bit on your plate. Cook it slowly for best results. You'll enjoy every tasty bite of it. Made of carefully selected pure fresh pork cuts that are extra tender and delicious, Swift's Brookfield sausage is then seasoned with rare, delicate spices that give you just the right blend of delicacy and zest you want. Not too spicy, not too mild. Swift's Brookfield sausage is the sausage with the just right seasoning. It's just good reasoning to get the sausage with the just right seasoning. And now for our weekly visit to Riverdale. It's Saturday afternoon as we look in on the Andrews home, and at the moment we find Mr. Andrews alone in the living room, sitting in his favorite armchair, reading the newspaper.
And scolding my little son for reaching for the cake, I said he would have to be more mannerly if he asked that someone pass the cake to him. He replied, "Oh, Mommy, what does manners get you?" Every time Daddy gets polite in the train or bus, it costs him his seat.
Hey,
yes, dear.
Telephone's ringing.
Yeah, I hear it.
Well, answer it.
Well, Mary, I'm reading
Fred.
My... Yes, dear, I'll answer it. You mumble fine singer. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Andrews?
Yes?
This is Veronica. Is Archie home?
Oh, hello, Veronica. Yes, Archie's home. Did you want to talk to him?
No, I don't.
All right, I'll call it. Well, you don't?
That's right. I'd rather you just gave him a message for me.
Oh, of course, Veronica. What is it?
Well, Archie was supposed to come over here this afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Yes?
But ask him to make it 4 o'clock instead.
4 o'clock instead.
I'm going down to Stacy's department store to do some Christmas shopping this afternoon. This is about the last chance I'll have.
All right, Veronica, I'll tell him.
Thank you, Mr. Andrews. Oh, but don't tell him I'm going shopping. You see, it's for his present. Just tell him the part about changing the date from 3 to 4.
All right, Veronica, I'll tell him.
Thanks ever so much, Mr. Andrews. Bye.
Bye. Bye. George, it's a good thing Veronica called. I'd forgotten all about Christmas shopping, and I still don't have anything from Mary or Archie. I'd better get my hat and get down to Stacy's right now. This is the last chance I'll have. Oh, fine.
Hey.
Yes, dear.
Doorbell's ringing.
I hear it, dear. I hear it.
Oh, all right, dear.
All right, dear. All right. I never have a chance to... Oh, good grief. Jughead.
Who'd you expect? Jersey Joe Wolcott?
No, Jughead, and I don't want to fight with you either. I'm in a hurry.
Hiya, Jug. What are you doing here?
Oh, hi, Archie. I came over to see what you're doing.
Well, I was
Oh, Archie, Veronica just called.
Gee, was she did?
Yes, Archie, she did. And she
said... I never heard the phone ring.
Well, it rang.
And well, Veronica why didn't you tell me?
Archie.
Yes, Dad?
Do you care to hear what Veronica said or not?
Well, sure, Dad, sure.
Then be quiet and I'll tell you.
Okay, Dad, okay.
She said to, Yeah, she said to change your appointment with her from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
From... 3 to 4?
Yes, an hour later.
she was. I wonder why.
Well, she had some things to attend to, and I'm going out. I'll see you later.
Yeah, okay, Dad. Goodbye.
Bye, Mr. Andrews.
She was. That's great.
Huh?
Well, now that Veronica's made our date an hour later, I have time to get my Christmas shopping done.
But
this is practically the last chance I'll have.
But
it's a good thing I thought of it.
But
I haven't bought a thing for anyone yet.
Including me?
Including you.
Archie, it's time you did your Christmas shopping.
That's right, Jug. Come on, we'll go right down to Stacy's.
Well, what are you going to get me, huh?
Jug, you'll just have to...
When I call, I think that... Well, that's funny. She's gone. Oh, for pity's sake. Hello.
Hello, Mrs. Andrews. This is Betty.
Oh, hello, dear. How are you?
Fine, thanks, Mrs. Andrews. Is Archie home?
Yes, dear. I think he's upstairs. Archie! That's funny. He must have gone out, too. I wish people would tell me when they're going out. Hello, Betty.
Yes, Mrs. Andrews?
Archie doesn't seem to be home, dear. No, dear. And, Betty, I hate to cut you short, but I have to run now. I'm just leaving to do my Christmas shopping.
Oh, golly, I'm glad you mentioned that, Mrs. Andrews. I haven't done my shopping yet either.
Oh, you haven't? Well, would you like to go with me, dear?
Oh, I'd love to, Mrs. Andrews.
All right. I'll pick you up right away, and we'll go down to Stacy's.
I never saw such crowds.
Yes, Jughead, but when we got in that elevator and everyone started pushing, did you have to push back?
Listen, Archie, in that crowd, even a sardine would have pushed back.
Well, never mind. We're here now, and the first thing I want to buy is a compact for Veronica. I wonder where the cosmetic department is.
Cosmetic department?
Yeah.
Gee whiz, Archie, let's go up to the toy department first.
Jug, I told you we'll go up to the toy department later. Now, come on, I'll ask that floor walker where the cosmetic department is.
Gee whiz, okay.
Oh, mister.
Yes, yes.
Could you tell me where the cosmetic department is, please?
Yes, counter 7.
Thank you. Come on, Jug.
Where is it?
Counter 7.
Where's that?
Gee, I don't know. Oh, mister.
Yes?
Where is counter 7?
On the north side of counter 6.
Oh, thank you. I'll just see. Mister?
Well, what now?
Which way is north?
Oh, my lambs. Sonny, you see the boys' clothing department right there?
Yes.
Well, go right down on that aisle where the dummies are and turn right.
Oh, okay, mister. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Yes, madam. Can I help you?
Where do you say it is, Archie?
Right down at the next aisle, Jug. Come on.
Oh, okay.
And boy, he's sure not a very friendly floor walker.
Maybe his wife beats him.
I wouldn't be surprised. Oh, what was that?
You bumped into that dummy.
Oh, gee whiz, I knocked the hat off. For a minute, I thought that dummy was a real person. Wait a second, Jug, till I put the hat back on.
Okay.
If that floor walker ever saw me fooling around this dummy, he'd probably throw us out of the store or something.
Gee whiz.
What's the matter?
There's Veronica.
Veronica? Oh, gee whiz, I don't want her to see me here.
She's coming right towards us.
Oh, boy. Jug, I'm going to be a dummy.
Huh?
I'm going to climb up on this platform with the rest of these dummies, and I'll wear this hat.
But, Archie,
oh,
you
Jug,
can't
don't
do that.
Argue. Don't argue. Here. How do I look?
You're the most natural-looking dummy I ever saw.
Don't be funny, Jug, and put that price tag on me, quick.
Okay. Here.
Attaboy. Now, remember, don't give me away no matter what happens.
Well, okay, but...
Why, Jughead!
Oh. Hi, Veronica.
What y'all doing here?
Ooh, just a little shopping.
Oh, I am, too. Thank goodness I have most of it done.
Oh, that's good.
Only thing I still have to get is a gift for Archie.
Archie?
Uh-huh. But I don't know what to get him. He's such a problem.
Yeah, he sure is.
I can't get him a book or anything because he's not the intelligent type. I can't get him a baseball glove or anything because he's not much of an athlete. Can't get him a tie or anything because he just doesn't know anything about style. In fact, sometimes I think Archie is an awful dummy. But then again, with prices being what they are, there isn't very much you can get for a dollar. Do Did you say something, Jughead?
Me? Not a word, Veronica, not a word.
Oh, well, I better go get some more shopping done. Would you like to come along?
Oh, no, Veronica, I can't. I'm meeting someone here in a minute.
Oh, well, I'll run along then. Bye now, Jughead.
Bye, Veronica, bye. Okay, dummy, you can relax now.
A fine thing, a fine thing. Jughead, help me down off this platform. I've got...
She was not now.
Huh?
Here comes a floor walker.
Oh, boy, I'd better be a dummy some more.
Yes, madam. A dozen steps to you. You can return at any time. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, me. Never have I seen such a rush. Never in all my... Land sakes. Who put that dummy here?
Oh, boy.
Oh, if that isn't the silliest looking dummy I've ever seen. I don't know why that stockroom can't send one that looks at least half alive. I have never seen one with such an insipid expression. And such a ridiculous posture.
Mister.
Yes?
I'm not really a dummy.
That makes absolutely no difference. They still shouldn't... Oh, good heavens, you're alive.
Uh-huh.
Oh, for pity's sake. Young man, come down off there.
Yes, sir.
Well, just what were you doing on that platform looking like a dummy?
Well, that's a long story, sir. You see,
oh,
I was...
Oh, good heavens, young man. Will you do me a favor?
Yes, sir.
As soon as you've paid for that jacket, leave the store.
Huh?
I said as soon as you've finished buying that jacket...
This jacket?
Yes, that jacket with the price tag on it. You're buying it, aren't you?
But this is my jacket.
Your jacket? Hmm. Do you have the sale slip?
Well, no, I bought it here last year.
And you haven't removed the price tag yet?
Removed the... Oh, mister, you don't understand.
Young man, I understand perfectly. The price is $14.95, and I want it right now.
Oh, but mister,
Now, I said.
But you don't understand. This is my own jacket. No fooling. Jughead, tell the man this is my jacket, and... Jughead?
Young man, are you calling me names?
Oh. No, 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 sir. I was talking to my friend.
What friend?
Well, that's just it. He was here a minute ago. I bet he went up to the toy department. Mister, if you'd just come up to the toy department, we can find my friend and he'll tell
Young
you that...
Young man, I am not going up to the toy department or anywhere else until I have the $14.95 for that jacket.
But that's all the money I have and I just... Oh, wait a minute.
Beg pardon?
I know. Mister... If I paid you for this jacket, you'd give me a sales slip, and then I could take it over to the exchange department and get my money back, couldn't I?
Yes, if you like.
Oh, well, in that case, it's all right. I haven't anything to worry about. Here's the money.
Thank you. And here's your sales slip.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Good day, sir.
Good day. Guess I fooled him. Yes, sir, it's a good thing I think fast. For a minute there, it looked like I wouldn't have any Christmas money. But now all I have to do is take this coat and go to the exchange counter and give them this jacket, and then I'll... Gee whiz. If I do, I won't have any jacket left. Oh, boy, how do I get into these things?
Well, now, let's see. First thing I better do is get that bottle of perfume from Mary. Ah, here's the perfume counter right here. Let's see now. What kind should I get her? Well, they certainly have quite an assortment. Chase Me, $25. Hide and Seek, $32. Wallflower, No More, $40. I never smelled anything worth that kind of money. Oh, here's another one. Evening in Riverdale, $10. Well, that's a little better. I think Mary likes this perfume. That's just what I'll get her. Oh, miss, I'll take this bottle...
Hey, where's Mr. Andrews?
Well, Jughead, hello. What are you doing here?
Oh, hello, strangers. I'm looking for Archie.
I thought you were with Archie.
Well, I was, but he just...
Well, I'm trying to get one of these sales girls to wait on me here, but they're all so busy.
Gee whiz.
No, what's the matter?
There's Mrs. Andrews.
Mary? Where?
Right over there.
Oh, good grief. If she sees me with this bottle of perfume, she'll know what I'm getting her for Christmas.
She's coming this way.
Yes, I know. I see. I'll just duck the bottle in my pocket. There, right in this pocket. Now she sees me.
Just a moment, please.
Yeah?
I saw that.
Saw what? Oh. Oh. Oh!
Oh, now, mister, you don't understand. You don't understand
oh,
at all.
Oh, I don't, don't I?
No, you...
Did you or did you not just hide a bottle of perfume in your pocket?
Well, yes, but...
Have you paid for it?
Well, no, but...
Well, I don't know what you call it, but we call it shoplifting.
Yes, of course, it's shoplifting. Oh, now, wait a minute, mister. I can explain. I can explain the entire thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
Well, you see, I've been trying to get one of the sales girls to wait on me, and now I just saw my wife over there, and I hid the bottle because I didn't want her to know what I'm getting her for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Just where is your wife?
Well, she was right over... Oh, good heavens, she's gone.
Yeah, I thought so.
Oh, but she was right there. Jughead, tell the man how we saw my wife. Well, now, where did he go to?
Who?
Jughead. He was standing right here just a second ago. I don't know where he
Mister,
could...
Huh? Do you imagine these things very often?
Imagine what?
Do you have delusions?
But I...
Spells?
Oh,
you
but
see spots before your eyes? Now, keep calm, keep calm. No need to get excited. Just give me back the perfume, and we'll forget the whole thing, and you can go right home and lie down.
Lie down? But who wants
the
to lie...
The perfume, please.
Yes, sir, I have it right in my...
Something wrong?
It leaked.
What leaked?
The perfume bottle. It leaked all over my pocket. See, it's half empty.
Oh, for land's sake. Now you'll have to pay for it.
What?
That's right. I was going to forget the whole incident, but I can't return a damaged bottle to the counter.
Well, I'm certainly not going to pay for a leaky bottle of perfume.
Mister, if you're not satisfied with the item, you can take it to the exchange department, but I must be paid for it.
But...
I said I must.
Oh, me. You win. I'll go to the exchange department, but how I get into these things, I'll never know.
Which bathrobe do you like best, Betty?
The dark blue one, I think.
I do, too. Blue is Aunt Hattie's favorite color.
Oh, but is it her size, Mrs. Andrews?
Well, there's only one way to tell, Betty. I'll have to try it on.
Try it on?
Uh-huh. I wear the same size that Aunt Hattie does, and if it fits me, it'll fit her. Here, hold my coat, dear, while I step into this dressing room and put this bathrobe on.
Oh, all right, Mrs. Andrews.
It'll just take me a second, dear. I'd hate to go to all the trouble of buying this and sending it to Hattie and then not have it fit.
Uh-huh.
Then I'd only have to return it for her since she lives out of town. Oh, dear.
What is it?
There's no hanger in here for my dress.
Oh, well, hand it to me, Mrs. Andrews. I'll hold it.
All right, dear. Here you are.
I have it.
Oh, thank you, dear. I'll have this robe on in just a minute. There. Oh, how's it look, Betty?
Well, it looks a little big to me.
It does? Well, I better take a look in this mirror. Oh, Betty, you don't have to hold my coat and dress. Just put them on that empty rack.
Oh, all right, Mrs. Andrews.
Now, let's see. Yes, it is a little big.
Yes, it is.
I'll have to ask the sales girl if she has a smaller size. You wait here, Betty. Oh, miss. Miss, do you have
the size? Gee whiz, Betty.
Jughead, what are you doing here?
Looking for Archie.
Archie, is he here?
Well, I think so. We came here together, but we got separated.
Oh, well, where'd you see him last?
On the dummy platform.
What?
Well, you see, he was being a dummy.
What?
A dummy. You know, the kind that looks like this.
Jug, what are you talking about?
Excuse me, miss. I got to move this rack.
What? Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, Mo, get the other end there.
Got it.
Easy now. Easy.
I got it.
Hold it on.
Jughead, what are you trying to tell me about Archie?
Betty, it's an awful long story. All I want to know is, have you seen him?
Well, no, I haven't.
Well, then I better keep looking. He may be in trouble.
What kind of trouble?
I can't tell you now, Betty. See you later. Bye.
But Jug, wait, Jug. Oh, golly, that Jughead, he's the strangest
Betty,
person.
How do you like this bathrobe?
Oh, that's fine, Mrs. Andrews, but I just...
Besides, does fit much better, doesn't it, dear?
Yes, Mrs. Andrews, but I just...
Betty! What happened to it?
What happened to what?
The rack.
What rack?
The rack you put my dress on.
Oh, golly, I don't know.
But my dress... My dress and coat were on it.
Oh, golly, it was here a minute ago.
My dress? But Betty, what'll I do?
Something wrong, madam?
Yes, I lost my dress.
I beg you. Beg your pardon?
My dress. We put it down here for a minute while I tried on this bathrobe, and now it's gone.
The bathrobe?
No, the dress.
But it couldn't be.
But it is, isn't it, Betty?
Oh, yes, indeed, Mrs. Andrews.
Oh, my land, I have never seen such a day. Living dummies, men hiding from their wives, and now this woman loses her dress.
But I tell you, it was right under my nose.
I should hope so.
Well, do something. Do something.
Madam, what can I do about your dress?
Find it.
Now, madam, be calm, be calm. It was probably taken by mistake, and it'll be turned into the lost and found department.
Well, where's that?
At the other end of the floor next to the exchange department.
Come on, Betty.
Madam.
madam, where are you going?
To the lost and found department.
But, madam, certainly not in our bathrobe.
Well, certainly not without it. Come on, Betty, we'll go see if they have my dress. How these things happen to me, I'll never know.
Archie.
Yes, Jug.
Now can I tell you who I met?
Yes, Jug.
Well, first I ran into...
Archie, what in tarnation are you doing here?
She was Dad. Where'd you come from?
Never mind where I came from. But, Archie, what are you doing standing here in your shirt sleeves?
Well, Dad, I can explain. You see,
Mary
I came over...
What are you doing here?
Mary, what are you doing in your bathrobe?
Oh, it's not my bathrobe, but... Fred Andrews, you smell.
What?
You positively reek of perfume.
Oh.
Now.
Yes, I do, don't I? You see, dear,
Archie Andrews, what are you doing here?
Veronica.
Jughead, why didn't you tell me Archie was here?
Well, Veronica,
what seems to be the trouble here?
Oh, the floor walker. Mister, I'm trying to find out why my son is standing here in his shirt sleeves.
Please, there's no need to get...
And I want to know why you smell of perfume.
Lady, I...
And what are you doing in that bathroom?
Mister, please don't...
I'm trying to exchange my own coat. Sonny,
just...
Why did you get here, Archie?
Somebody... Girlie, wait.
That's better. Now listen to me, all of you. This nonsense has gone far enough. Too far, in fact.
Yes, Mr. Andrews.
Yes, dear.
Yes, Dad.
It certainly has.
But
all afternoon, you people have made my life quite miserable for me. Quite miserable.
Yes, sir.
Now, if there's any reason for it, I feel I'm entitled to an explanation.
Well, mister, you know the coat, the one you thought I was buying?
Yes.
Well, my mother and father and Jughead and Veronica can all identify it as my old coat.
Well, of course that's Archie's coat.
Oh, my goodness,
I know that's his coat.
Oh, dear. You mean it really is?
Yes. And maybe you'll recall that you didn't believe my wife was in the store when I hid the perfume bottle in my pocket.
Well, yes, I...
Well, this is my wife.
Oh, how do you do? I'm very sorry.
And I just found out that two of your men moved an empty rack while I was talking to Jughead here, didn't they, Jughead?
Sure they did.
And that was the rack that had my dress and coat on it.
Well, Mr. Floor Walker, what do you say to that?
Yes.
Oh, what people, please,
to say to
please,
that?
Please.
That's
please.
What I want to know.
No tempers. Well. The customer's always right at J.L. Stacy's. We'll make amends, Mistakes will happen, you know. Young man, since that does seem to be your own coat, you may keep it, and I'll give you a cash credit slip for what you paid me.
Thank you.
And you, sir?
Yes?
I'll be glad to give you another bottle of perfume. Compliments of the store.
Well, that's better.
And, madam? Yes. I'm sure we can find your dress and coat in the lost and found department, and you may keep that bathrobe at no charge.
Well, thank you.
I'm here, too.
Jug, shut up.
Well, people, that satisfy you?
Well, yes, I think that straightens everything out all right. I'm sorry there's been so much misunderstanding.
That's quite all right. Quite all right.
And now, folks, if everything's settled, let's stop hiding from each other and get this Christmas shopping over and done with once and for all.
Yes, Mr. Andrews.
Yes, dear.
Yes, Dad.
All right. Now, what was that?
5 o'clock. Thank heavens. Store's closing. You folks will all have to come back next Monday.
Come back?
You mean we got to go tomorrow again?
Made fresh daily in Swift kitchens from coast to coast, Swift's premium franks are then wrapped in cellophane for extra protection. Ask for them today. You'll find 8 to 10 of the most delicious franks you ever tasted in each pound package of Swift's premium franks. And while you're at your dealers, look for Swift's premium table-ready meats. Like Swift's premium franks, Swift's premium table-ready meats are economical foods for these days. There's no waste to them because you eat every bit you buy. Another top favorite in these days when every bite counts is Swift's Brookfield Sausage. Made of pure, fresh pork, Swift's Brookfield Sausage is seasoned just right. Not too spicy, not too mild, but just right. Remember, it's just good reasoning. Get the sausage with the just right seasoning.
Swift's Brookfield Sausage.
And now, back to the Andrews. It's Monday night as we look in on the Andrews home, and the family has just come home from Stacy's department store.
Mary, it certainly is good to be home.
Oh, it certainly is.
And how? You know, I'm dead.
Oh, I am too, dear. I've never seen such a mob.
Me too. But at least we got all our shopping done. And you know, Mary, if I never set foot in a crowded store again, it'll be too soon.
Well, gee whiz.
Well, what is it, Archie?
This letter from Uncle George.
Oh?
Uncle George?
Uh-huh. He sent us a $50 gift certificate from J.L. Stacy's department store.
Oh, oh no.
No.
Oh,
you've been listening to another chapter of The Adventures of Archie Andrews, written by Carl Jampel and based on the copyrighted feature appearing in Archie Comics magazine. Archie was played by Bob Hastings. Jughead was Harlan Stone. Mom and Dad Andrews were played by Alice Yorman and Arthur Cole. Veronica and Betty by Gloria Mann and Rosemary Rice. The floor walker was Ray Hedge. This program was produced and directed by Kenneth McGregor. Listen next Saturday when Swift & Company, makers of Swift's Premium Franks and Swift's Brookfield Sausage, bring you more of the merry adventures of Archie Andrews. This is Bob Sherry wishing you a very pleasant weekend. So long. Swift & Company invite you to stay tuned for Meet the Meeks, which follows immediately over most of these stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Adventures of Archie Andrews, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 13th of December, 1947, on NBC. This is an hour of Christmas programs on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up next, Suspense, with a Christmas story called Yuletide Miracle, co-starring Santos Ortega, a veteran radio actor at this point in his career, starting on the air in broadcasts as early as 1936, this 1961 episode found him in a year where he worked quite a bit for CBS on programs like Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, also the religious program on NBC, The Eternal Light, this CBS broadcast from December 17th, 1961.
And now, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. Listen now to Yuletide Miracle, starring Larry Haynes and Santos Ortega, and written especially for Suspense by John Roberts.
Go ahead and laugh if you like. Only kids and old ladies believe in ghosts. Yeah, sure, that's what I thought, too. Until I met a chubby little guy with hair like cotton candy who called himself Sir Benjamin. But first, let me fill in the details about my meeting with Sir Benjamin. I was in one of those free eats missions along the Bowery. I ducked in there to escape a parole officer named Brannigan. Brannigan was out to hand me a merry set of bracelets for Christmas when he caught me. The mission was empty. I had it all to myself. Except for a skinny young punk hacking out a cough that made the benches jump.
Hey.
Hey, kid, you're sick.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
You need a doctor.
I've had a doctor. I'm wearing hospital pajamas under this suit.
Oh?
Yeah. Yeah, I went down the fire escape to the street. To here. I want to get home for Christmas, finally. I've been years making up my mind to it.
What are those boxes you're holding?
Christmas presents for my mother. My sister Linda. My kid sister Linda. How you like this?
Oh. Lady's gold watch, huh?
Yeah, it pins on a dress.
Mm-hmm.
I once stole my mother's watch and sold it. This squares it.
Yeah.
What's in the other box? Nylon stockings. My sister Linda's always had a...
Hey, kid, now, come on, get hold of yourself. Huh? Come on, now.
I can't get hold. Look, these presents. If you could get them to Mrs. B. Simmons for me, tell her that Tommy... Her son, Tommy, Mrs. B. Simmons.
Hey, kid. Come on, Tommy, get hold.
The coughing stopped. And it was right then that Sir Benjamin, the chubby little ghost with hair like cotton candy, happened. The first I knew of him was magic, as if he was announcing himself. It was music coming from an upright piano on a platform way down the mission hall. A Christmas hymn. But look, until my eyes popped out of my head, I couldn't see anybody. The piano was going, but nobody I could see was playing it. I went up to the piano and reached over the stool to see how the trick was worked. And my hands touched something solid, like somebody sitting on the stool. And then I saw fingers, hands skipping along the keys. Only hands, as if they had a life of their own. I don't know why, but I grabbed at them.
Ouch! That hurt. I bruise easily.
Hey, I'm seeing things, and now I'm hearing voices.
My voice, Chris. You're hearing me.
Well, where are you?
Right here, my boy.
What?
Just be patient, and I'll rematerialize. It takes a moment or two.
I saw the hands build. First arms, then elbows, shoulders. And then a body, slowly. And then the last thing, a head with little puffs of white hair. And then a face, a chubby face, rosy and smiling.
Well, here I am. Every bit of me, I trust.
Who are you?
Sir Benjamin. I'm sorry if I worried you.
Hey, that trick, like you were invisible.
But I was invisible.
Oh, come on, nobody can do that.
I can. And that's only one of my powers. But first, suppose we get right down to business, Chris?
We have business?
Of course. That boy over there on the bench, Tommy Simmons.
Hmm. Oh, the kid, yeah. You know, I almost forgot. He's lying there like dead. I don't dare go outside, but somebody's got to call an ambulance. Do something.
It's too late for Tommy.
Well, now, we don't know that. We're not doctors.
I know that. The problem now is, what are you going to do about his dying wish?
What? Oh. Oh, you mean about delivering those presents to his family?
It would be fine if you deliver those presents in person.
Me? Hey, now, come off it, mister. It's not my job and it's none of my business. Besides, I got problems of my own.
Brannigan?
What?
The parole officer?
How did you know about Brannigan?
I'm a very versatile and talented ghost. I also have powers of conjuration.
Come again?
Turn the boy's dying wish aside, and I'll conjure up Brannigan. You don't think I can?
I don't think you even exist. How about that? I think I'm dreaming you up.
Very well. I will demonstrate. Hold on to something, Chris. Conjuration is a very cataclysmic and strenuous business. You'll definitely be safer if you hold on to something.
Don't ask me why, but I grabbed hold of the piano. But it's a good thing I did, too, because the joint began to rock like an earthquake was hitting it.
Ah. There. I'm finished now. That's quite a job of conjuring. But there's Brannigan.
What?
See? On the street, peering through the plate glass window of the mission, watching you.
Holy smoke. It is Brannigan. Hey, I gotta get out of here. I gotta find the back way
out. Here, through this yard door, quickly.
I dived into the yard where Brannigan's police was blowing at me. The yard was a dead end. High building walls all around like a prison yard. No exit except a long, narrow alley to the street past Brannigan. I flattened in the shadows, a dead duck. I was listening to Brannigan shout orders at a couple of bluecoats who'd come running when he whistled.
Watch the exit, men, while I flush him out. D'Angelo, you're trapped. Better surrender peacefully. Do you hear me, D'Angelo?
Trapped was the word, like a rat.
Oh, a pity.
Too bad,
Chris. What's the penalty for violation of parole?
A year, maybe two. Oh, you were a big help shooing me into the yard. There I go, talking to myself.
You're talking to me. I could really be a big help.
Give up, D'Angelo! Don't make me take you the hard way!
Think fast, Chris. You were to respect Tommy Simmons' dying wish. You were to go home for Christmas in his place.
Okay, okay. If I was to, then what?
Then Brannigan goes empty-handed. In order to catch you, he must first see you.
Oh, sure, sure. Brannigan's suddenly gonna go stone blind, huh?
No. You are becoming invisible.
It was a laugh. But the laugh was I was invisible. At least to Brannigan I was. He came right toward me with a flashlight in one hand and a gun in the other. Only he looked right through me as if he didn't see me.
D'Angelo! I know you gotta be in this yard.
I watched him search every inch. And then scratch his head and give up.
Now, Chris, for your part of the bargain, here are Tommy's presents. Go deliver them.
Now, look. I'll leave here and only run into Brannigan outside somewhere. Now, what about that?
You remain invisible until you've arrived at your destination. That is, as long as you remain faithful to your mission. Go, Chris.
Okay, okay. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. Where am I going? Where do I find this Mrs. B. Simmons?
Not far. Just a brief train ride to a neighboring town. The town, Chris, is Bethlehem.
As Sir Benjamin had promised, it was a brief train ride. But funny, I felt like I'd come a long, long way. There was a deserted train shed with snow packed high. The station sign turned silver by the moon read Bethlehem. Not a soul in sight. No. There was someone. A girl. A girl in high boots, a snow hat, and the moon on her cheeks. She was coming toward me.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you Chris?
Yeah, my name is Chris.
I'm Linda. Linda Simmons. I came to drive you home.
Just like that?
Just like what?
Well, I mean, no explanations. Like you knew I was here. And how come you know my name?
Oh, I was told you were coming. And told your name, too.
You were told?
Somebody telephoned.
Oh. Yeah, he telephoned. He wasn't kidding when he said he was a talented ghost.
Hmm?
Say, you came right at me just now. That means you saw me. You can see me, huh?
See you?
Yeah. Face, hands, body, me. I'm a guy. You look at me and you see a guy.
No. I cannot see you.
Then I am invisible.
No. It's just that I'm blind.
Drive home. Let's take it now, huh? There was a horse-drawn sleigh around the side of the shed. Silver bells on the reins and a horse whose name had to be Dobbin. You drove this rig all the way here by yourself?
Oh, you don't drive Dobbin. He knows every inch of the way to the Bethlehem station. You see, we've been coming here every night for years.
Nice and slow and easy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been running since I was born, and now I was asking myself, what for? A guy can't stay tough in a horse-drawn rig in the snow. And when Linda put her hand on mine, I opened my fist for the first time I could remember. We reached home. A frame cottage, nothing fancy, with a candle burning brightly in the window.
Come in, Chris. Yeah. Mother!
Right here, Linda.
Oh, Mother, this is Chris.
Welcome home, Chris.
Oh, yeah, thanks. It's a nice place you got here, Mrs. Simmons.
Oh, I'm so glad you like it.
I don't exactly know how to say this, Mrs. Simmons. You see, I'm just a mug. I quit school the minute I learned how to tell the teacher off, so if I ain't got the right words...
You don't have to have the right words, Chris. You don't even have to get it said. You see, I know.
You know? About Tommy?
Yes, all about Tommy.
Well, how? Oh, somebody talked to you on the phone, too, huh?
Yes, somebody telephoned me.
Hmm. Well, the last thing the kid thought about was you and Linda and coming home for Christmas. And he asked me to give you these. Gold watch for you, Mrs. Simmons.
Oh, Chris.
These for you, Linda. Nylon stockings.
Thank you.
It's nothing big, I guess, but Tommy didn't have much to give the way it was with him.
You're wrong, Chris. Tommy had a great deal to give, and in his way, he gave it.
I don't follow.
A boy come home. Tommy couldn't come home himself, so he sent you to us, Chris.
You can say about me that I was born in 1935 and I stopped crying in 1936 at the ripe old age of one. And you can say about me that I let a tear go I never knew I had. Christmas, 1961. Linda.
Yes, Chris.
Don't get me wrong. You know, it's no crime being poor.
Say it, Chris.
Well, it's like this. It's Christmas, but I don't see any tree. And I've been sniffing close enough to the kitchen to know there's nothing roasting in that oven.
You're disappointed?
Oh, no. Is it all right if I borrow Dobbin outside?
All right. Of course it's all right, Chris.
Put me down as a guy who never knows when to shut up. A tree and a turkey? Sure, lady. Nothing to it. Presto Mephisto, I'm a magician. Here's your tree, lady, and here's your bird. What?
Quite a remarkable feat of magic, Chris. Presto Mephisto, eh?
Sir Benjamin, I was wondering when you'd show up to Kibitz. You are here, Sir Benjamin.
Yes, but immaterially. And please don't ask me to rematerialize, Chris. I daren't show my face in Bethlehem.
Why not?
I lived here once before my present situation. I wasn't very popular with my townspeople, I'm afraid.
Oh, what'd they have against you?
Bills. I died owing the butcher, the baker, and even the undertaker.
Oh.
Let's get back to your problem.
Yeah, a tree and a turkey, and it's your problem. I'm dumping it right into your lap. You got me into this in the first place.
I see. Had you any money?
Not a plugged nickel, and even if I had, the town is shut tight. But you're a talented ghost. A tree and a turkey ought to be a cinch. You got any ideas on it, Sir Benjamin?
Only one. My customary way of acquiring necessary things while I was alive.
Your customary way?
Credit, Chris. And I hope never to be a borrower again. But I suppose it can't be helped.
And, just where do we borrow this tree and turkey?
From Uncle Cale's poultry farm. It's just past the Merchant's Bank, a short drive.
Well, I'm a stranger here.
Move over. I'll take the reins. Get there.
There aren't any ghosts, and call me crazy, but Sir Benjamin drove the rig at a smart clip to a farm stacked with freshly cut trees.
Take your pick of tree and carry it to the rig. And Chris.
Yeah, what?
No WAP, a necessary disturbance. I owe Uncle Cale a formidable bill already.
I threw the tree on the rig and went back. Sir Benjamin was coming out of a poultry house carrying a great big fat turkey.
There's a job persuading this feathered fellow. Here, take the leash and be on your way.
Well, wait a minute. Where are you going?
To leave a receipt for Uncle Cale for one tree and one turkey.
I'd sure like to be there when he reads it.
So would I, Chris. So would I.
I hurried back to the rig, right into the arms of trouble. Brannigan.
Hello, D'Angelo.
What?
Run and you won't get 10 yards.
Okay. What did you do, look into a crystal ball to find out where I was?
I didn't have to. I just took the same train you took.
Ah, baloney. You had to see me to be able to do that.
I had to see you. What were you, invisible or something?
Sure, I was invisible.
D'Angelo, you killed me. Invisible.
Oh, yeah? All right, what about me yard behind the mission? You walked right past me. You played your flash right on me, but you couldn't see me. How about that?
I'll answer that one. Maybe I didn't see you because I didn't want to see you.
And now what?
That's the truth, D'Angelo. I didn't want to catch you. I had to make noises like wanting to because I'm a cop. But I didn't want to make the arrest. Not on Christmas, D'Angelo.
Yeah. Well, you're making the arrest now.
Maybe I'm not.
But why'd you tell me all the way here?
To see what you were up to. To see if you really had a heart. Yeah. So, you're bringing the Simmons a tree and a turkey.
Well, now, how do you know about the Simmons?
I knew Tommy Simmons. I saw him pass you those presents in the mission before he died. I phoned Mrs. Simmons and Linda that you were coming.
It was you who telephoned?
Me, sure. Who'd you think?
What's it? I thought Sir Benjamin.
You thought who, D'Angelo?
Never mind. Skip it.
Now, I'll ask one question, and then maybe I'll leave. Now, think carefully before you answer.
Go ahead, ask.
If I arrange for you to keep in touch with the parole officer by mail, providing those letters were postmarked Bethlehem, would you like it that way?
Would I? Brannigan, where else does a guy want to write letters from but home? That's almost all there is to the story of Sir Benjamin, me, Brannigan, Mrs. Simmons, and Linda. So we had to take the door down to get the tree into the house, and we had to find an extra stomach apiece to accommodate the turkey. And then later, with the fire going and the lights down low, Linda and I sat dreaming on the sofa. I had my fist open for keeps, and her hand was right in mine, like it belonged there.
It's been a perfectly wonderful Christmas, Chris.
Yeah, wonderful.
And thanks to you, we had a tree and a turkey.
Well, thanks to me. Now, the tree and the turkey wasn't my trick.
The tree and the turkey were? Chris, what are you saying?
No, really, the thanks goes to another guy. A chubby little guy who sure has a talent for getting what he wants. His name's Sir Benjamin.
Sir Benjamin?
Yeah. Why?
Well, the coincidence of names. Well, I used to call my father Sir Benjamin in play. Oh, we'd play Lord and Lady. My father and I, he'd call me Princess Linda, and I'd call him Sir Benjamin.
The coincidence of names, you said, huh? Linda, suppose it isn't a coincidence.
But my father died years ago.
Yeah, so did my Sir Benjamin. The guy I'm talking about is a ghost.
A ghost?
Yeah. A ghost like I met in a mission when your brother Tommy died. All of a sudden, a piano started going. Piano music, but nobody I could see was playing.
Chris?
Huh?
Our piano is playing.
Yeah, so it is. Hey, you want to bet it's Sir Benjamin?
Bet? But how can you prove it?
Well, easy.
I toss a turkey wing at the piano stool. I bet you Sir Benjamin lets out a yell and complains about how easily he bruises. Do we bet?
What will we bet, Chris?
A kiss. That way, Linda, nobody loses.
Starring Larry Haynes and Santos Ortega, and written especially for Suspense by John Roberts. Next week, instead of another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense, a gala song fest well calculated to put you in a bright holiday mood. The 7th annual Christmas Sing with Bing will come your way over the CBS radio network next Sunday evening, Christmas Eve. Singing along with Bing, Catherine Crosby, the Norma Luboff Choir, and those two fugitives from the Met, Charlie McCarthy and Mortimer Snerd. Suspense is produced and directed by Bruno Zerato Jr. Music supervision by Ethel Huber. Featured in tonight's story were Rosemary Rice as Linda, Joe DeSantis as Brannigan, Catherine Roth as Mrs. Simmons, and Bill Lipton as Tommy. 2 weeks from today, we'll return with The Old Man, written by Bob Corcoran. Another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Suspense, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 17th of December, 1961 on CBS. And that wraps it up for this hour of Christmas programs on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Happy holidays.